Hello and welcome to Bidfood's Talking Food Podcast. I'm Joe Anglis and this is Bidfood's podcast series where we talk about everything to do with food service, including advice and tips from experts in our business, customers and key people in the industry. As we have for the last few episodes, we're continuing with our theme of supporting your business with reopening after COVID-19. For this episode, we'll be talking to a number of experts discussing how consumer focuses and confidence has developed over the pandemic, with recommendations on how to rally your customers back. My co-host for the episode today will be David King, who is our Customer and Sector Marketing Manager at Bidfood. We'll then be joined by Chris Davies, who is the Managing Director of Omni. Omni are a strategic and creative partner to the world's best food, beverage and hospitality brands. We'll also be joined by Peter Martin, who is one of the most authoritative and influential communicators in the eating and drinking out sector. He's a familiar face in the industry and often speaks and presents at events in the UK, Europe and in the US. This episode should be a good one, so let's get things started. Before we kick things off, I'd like to introduce everyone to my co-host, David King. Hi, David. How are you? And welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. How's things around?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you finding things in lockdown?
I have to say, not bad now. I think it took a bit of time to adjust, like most people. But yeah, I'm currently sat here in my flat in North London. Weather's looking pretty good. And yeah, I can't really complain, I guess.
For anyone that's not heard the Pubs podcast that we previously did together, what's your role at Bidfood?
Yeah, so I'm one of the customer and sector marketing managers at Bidfood. My role is essentially here to support customers with bespoke added value support. That involves a series of things, but mainly creating campaigns that are going to help them drive value and drive footfall at the moment. You know, we're in a really crazy time, aren't we? And I think one of the things we're really looking to do at Bidfood at the moment is create campaigns that they can engage with and hopefully help them get back to business, really.
So today, of course, we'll be talking about the collaboration project we've had with Omni called Rally Your Customers. Can you tell me a bit about this and what has led us to this partnership?
Rally Your Customers came out of an idea where, in essence, we just want to provide customers with some insight and guidance on what the post-not COVID-19 marketplace is going to look like. There's a massive amount of information out there on what it could look like, a lot of different insight. But to be honest, what we wanted to do was cut through it and create a really actionable and insightful guide over a series of topics that our customers could look at. This kind of initial idea that we had led me to a conversation with Chris at Omni, and we both had a real mutual realization that we were looking to do the same thing. The team at Omni have a load of expertise and a load of really good connections that we wanted to work together on. And it kind of led us to this point where our collaboration seemed like a really, really good option. And so that's really where the campaigns come from, I guess.
So David, what are the topics we're going to go through?
So we're going to go through our first of four topics. And this topic one, is consumer confidence, the role of trust and the new hierarchy of importance to consumers. This is also going to look at the role of deals and promotions and what part they play within the modern day marketplace.
Thanks, David. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. David and I are now joined by Chris Davies and Peter Martin. So Chris, we'll start with you. Where are you joining us from today?
I am calling in from my living room in sunny Bedfordshire, where, to be honest, I've been sat for the last 10 weeks, largely hiding from the children, to be honest.
Nice. So how have you found lockdown?
How I find lockdown? Truthfully, all in all, it's been great, actually. I think it's taught us a lot as well. We've definitely found ways to conduct business differently, and I am absolutely positive those changes will continue. Yeah. For the foreseeable, you know, the personal changes, which are great, commercial benefits in here, environmental benefits, so that's all great. And back to that personal one, genuinely love spending more time at home with a young family. So can't complain, and the weather's made it all the better.
So Chris, can you tell us a bit about Omni and what you do?
Sure. Omni is a strategic and creative partner to some of the world's best food and beverage and food service and hospitality brands. And I think our mantra is that expertise is everything, and kind of been banging that drum for the last 20 years or so, because we've been entirely dedicated to that sector, working with a real mix of international clients, spanning manufacturers, spanning distributors, like your good sales Bidfood, spanning operators. And I think it's that expertise that gives us, in our view, an unrivaled and unparalleled understanding of the sector, which means we can really support and, more importantly, lead our clients to find huge successes. And I suppose down to my role as MD, I mean, I head up the integrated team, which spans client services, creative and studio, digital content, PR, incentive, operations, all of those wonderful things, as well as working on some of our key partners as well.
Talking about our collaboration for the project we've been working on, why did you want to work with us on this?
I think David summed it up really well, in truth. It was actually very timely because it was a topic that we were looking at ourselves as we knew lockdown would begin to come to a close and whatever guise that was, and we didn't have a lot of information back then. But as David said, since the outbreak, there has been a sea of insight, support, guidance coming at us from countless sources, which is brilliant. But in our view, a lot of it is left open-ended and doesn't leave you with a direct action. So when David picked up the phone and talked through this idea, and we both had that same view on making it incredibly actionable and really about rebuilding confidence and getting people back through the doors of operators, that was appealing and a bit of a no-brainer.
Oh, thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate that. I think for us, it's been really, really great working with you guys. Hopefully a sign of things to come. Okay, so over to Peter now. So Peter, welcome to the podcast. Where are you joining us from today?
I'm in deepest rural Northamptonshire today, and as I have been for a few weeks now, and you can probably hear the birds singing in the background.
How have you found lockdown, Peter?
Interesting. In one sense, it's a bit like Groundhog Day, isn't it? I mean, I've got an office at home, so I'm not a stranger to working from home. I'm missing getting on the train to London these days. But it has been really focused. The good thing is I have been working because there's an awful lot of people in the country who haven't been. And I've been keeping busy, not least on Zoom and various other online platforms.
I was about to say, Peter, I've seen you on a couple of webinars, actually. So what do you do for CGA? And can you introduce the audience the kind of things that CGA do?
Well, I mean, I don't spend all my time with CGA. It's one of the companies I work with. To put a bit of background, I've been working around the eating and drinking out market in the UK and internationally for the last 35 years or so, mainly in media as a journalist, editor, commentator, media owner, events organizer, all that sort of thing. But more importantly, these days, I work with CGA, who are a leading data and insight company here in the UK, but also with offices in the States. So that's giving us a really good take on what's happening in the hospitality market. Obviously, not a lot of sales, none at all in the UK at the moment, but CGA track consumer trends, sales trends, opening and closing trends. Here in UK, we've got a lot of data coming in from China. We're getting data in for US. So we're getting a good picture of what recovery might look like.
That's great. Thank you very much, guys. For the next part, we'll be talking about consumer confidence.
Welcome back to Bidfood's Talking Food podcast. So obviously, as people are coming back into food service outlets after COVID-19, there'll be question marks around consumer confidence and how they react. So Chris, what is consumer confidence looking like at the moment?
Well, David, not wanting to be doomsday, but it isn't great. I think the stat worth mentioning, a CGA stat at that, is that only 22% of Brits would be comfortable eating or drinking out once the government imposed restrictions are lifted. But, and it's a big but, is that other studies are showing how much people are missing the eating and drinking out sector, because it was and is so fundamental to their day-to-day life. And so, you know, I think it's something that was published by the NPD group that 63% of Brits claim that they absolutely will return to restaurants, bars, cafes within the first month of opening, which is fantastic. But there's an if, and it's a big if, because they need to be provided with enough confidence to do so.
Are there any particular sectors that this affects the most?
Yes. It's going to be particularly tough for the parts of the hospitality sector where simply their proposition doesn't particularly lend itself well to social distancing. So, case in point, nightclubs, leisure, stadia, bars that are purposely designed to be busy and bustling, I think they're all going to find it quite difficult. Beyond that, it's going to be venues that are simply not geared up for social distancing, either back or front of house, and they'll be presented with countless operational challenges. But the other thing I think worth mentioning, and Peter will be more informed than I would be to talk about this, is the fact that this is an opportunity for chains where there is a greater perception that there'll be higher safety measures put into chain outlets than there might be put into independents. Perhaps unfair, but I believe there's some insight coming out of the US that is validating that.
Picking up from what Chris has said, he's absolutely right. I mean, we've got this sense that there's sort of, around 20% of the market who will come back immediately. There's another 20% who are probably not going anywhere anytime soon, because there is a lot of caution out there in a market. And that is that middle 60% or so who just want to be reassured. And I think the interesting thing is that, one, younger people are probably more likely to get back early, but it's not necessarily always the people who go out regularly. Even amongst regular restaurant and pub goers, there's still that caution. And so that's where operators, whether it's chains or independents, can work hard at getting people back. People are concerned about their health and the health and safety of their families as well. That is a concern. I mean, we've seen the pictures of people on beaches at Bournemouth and Brighton, but that's one part of the community. But we're also seeing from footfall that hasn't really increased right across the country. There's still a lot of concerns. So trust and reassurance is going to be the big driver, and then it's really about what we're going to put on top of that in terms of keeping people coming back into pubs, restaurants, cafes, fast food outlets.
How are we seeing things change in other markets around the world?
Well, the first market to sort of really come back is China, and CJ have done some consumer research there, and we're seeing about half the population of people who normally go out actually going back into bars and restaurants, but there's another 50% that haven't yet. So again, and I think this is, we're seeing right across the world, really, this need for reassurance. Some people will go back. And one of the problems we've seen in China is that people have gone back and then restaurants have had to close because of health scares in certain regions. That's not across the country, but in certain areas. And that, again, has probably hit confidence. So in a sense, it's a steady as we go situation. Looking to the States, and obviously the States is slightly complicated now by some of the civil unrest we've seen in recent times. But once we saw states like Texas and Florida starting to reopen, we were seeing people going back, and we were getting back to somewhere near 50% of trade in restaurants and bars. Mainly restaurants, tends to be lower tempo occasions, i.e. people going out with friends rather than big groups. And that reflects what Chris said, that people trying to avoid crowds. But actually the thing about the States is they've got a much bigger culture in terms of delivery and curbside and drive-throughs. And that sort of 20% of traders has really helped cushion that business. And I think one of the things going forward is seeing how that sort of business will continue either in the States or perhaps develop here in the UK as people try and map out how consumers are going to react. Because we can talk now about consumer confidence, but the real test is going to be when actually people start coming through the door.
So Chris, we mentioned now a bit about consumer confidence. What needs to be done by operators to rebuild consumer trust and loyalty?
There's loads that could be done, and it starts with operators needing to empathise with the concerns and the barriers and the new need states of consumers and in truth tackling them head on. It's worth noting there does appear to be some messaging fatigue out there. Some research done that said that brands that are using the particularly cliched statements that have come to be in day-to-day vernacular around the new normal and we're in it together is tiring people. Contrary to that, there are a wealth of consumers, 81% of consumers, based on a study done by CGA, that are more likely to visit hospitality venues when they've been communicated with by either email or social. So we've got to be out there, we've got to be talking about the things that are important to them, and do so in a way and in a tone that's true and authentic to your brand.
So Chris, you mentioned things there that are important to them. What kind of things are important to them at the moment then?
Safety, hygiene, and all that stuff's number one, and we'll probably come on to that in the next section. But there's other things as well, because people are missing occasions, they're missing connections, missing family, friends, they're missing the atmosphere and ambience you get when eating and drinking out.
Lots to think about there then. Thanks guys for that. Next up, we'll be talking about what the new hierarchy of importance is for consumers. Join us back in a second.
Welcome back, everybody. Now for our next topic. Peter, what is the new hierarchy of importance for consumers?
Well, these are really about true hygiene factors, the things that people really need to see if people are going to be reassured to come back. And they start, and this comes from research we've done at CGA, it starts with tables and seating distance properly, hand sanitizers being available, enhanced cleaning protocols, social distancing being enforced, and also enhanced food and safety hygiene procedures. And these really are fundamental things, but those are the things that all operators really need to put into operation, but also talk about and communicate well with their customers. And then really that is the basis. Now there's a lot of help out there from all sorts of companies, and UK Hospitality has developed protocols which they've put to government as well. So that's the foundation. And then really on top of that, I think operators can build their proposition in terms of quality, in terms of other factors, in terms of technology or whatever, to attract people back.
So Chris, we talked a bit about there about hygiene factors and what's really important to consumers. Why is it so important that operators are communicating these messages out at the moment?
I suppose, as before, it demonstrates that you understand them, that you get them, and that you're empathizing with them, and in truth, you're taking it seriously. Because this is about building trust, it's about instilling confidence on a number of levels. And due diligence is great, but where operators can really evidence that they're going above and beyond to protect their customers and their people, at the same time as not losing what it is that customers love about eating and drinking out, i.e. their environment, the atmosphere, the ambience, et cetera, then that's when you're more likely to win hearts and minds.
Chris, how can operators communicate these messages out then? What kind of platforms and channels are we talking about?
Well, funnily, topic two goes into this subject in a load of detail. But in brief, when you start with the fundamentals, we still recognise that consumers prefer to source information on their own terms. So that really is essential then to keep websites, menus, emails, social media up to date. And that might seem like a given, but with things like the rise of social media, websites can often be neglected or even forgotten, which is a fundamental mistake. Websites remain the main communication channel where consumers expect to find information and to find that level of reassurance on a variety of topics, so it must be kept in the right place. When it comes to social media, the wonderful minefield of social media, you've got to focus on the main channels where consumers are actually receiving communications. And whilst all social channels are important and somewhat over and under indexed depending on age demographics, etc., email and Facebook are still the most popular channels, more popular in fact than ever before. And actually some of the engagement that are being seen across email and social channels is just in the ridiculous percentages and seeing unprecedented levels, because people are in and around their devices more often than before and perhaps a bit more time. But again, the important thing to note is there is no one size fits all approach. You have to understand your audience and understand the makeup of your audience, and then use the right mix of social channels accordingly to target the younger demographics, the more middle-aged audience, and for the older audience, to make sure you are in the right spaces, delivering the right messages in the right times for those audiences.
That's great. Thank you, Chris. Peter, what's fallen down in the pecking order for consumers?
I think one of the things we've seen that consumers are likely to do is to stay local more, look for the familiar, which also means a lot of the trends we've seen in the last year or so of people looking for excitement, looking for something different, is really going out of the window a bit more. So they want to be it goes fits in with that being reassured. So they're likely to stay local. Part of that is because there's still going to be a lot of people still working from home, even in those early days. And that could continue through to the end of the year. I think the interesting thing, though, for operators, particularly local operators who may see new customers coming in, it's a matter of what they do within those locations in terms of keeping some excitement and doing something different. We know a lot of operators are saying we could perhaps cut down our menus or cut down our drinks ranges. I think there is sense in that, but there's also a danger because you've got to still offer somebody something new because you're still going to get people coming back out. They may not be going to a competitor, but they may well be staying at home.
That's great. Thank you very much, guys. Next up, we'll talk about deals, offers, and promotions.
Welcome back to Bidfood's Talking Food podcast. We are talking about the role of deals, offers, and promotions now. So deals, offers, and promotions are usually one of the biggest pulls to get consumers to buy from you. But surprisingly, this has changed somewhat since lockdown has begun. Chris, we'll go to you. So why is it that consumers are less interested in deals at the moment?
Thanks, David. This is a really strange and slightly complex one, if I'm totally honest. It was actually born out of some research done by CGA, which did suggest that consumers are, as you say, less interested in deals, offers, and promotions than before lockdown. But when you're facing what looks to be a pretty tricky economy and incoming recession and austerity is going to be forced upon us, it is incongruous that we're in a place where deals or promotions don't seem to be that well sought after, especially in a market where some operators are already putting that in place. And only today, a very notable coffee shop has done something there, which is driving much more footfall. But it does seem to be aligned to what Peter was talking about before, this desire for localness and the fear of losing your local operators off of your high street is driving people to want to really support and promote those around them. And there's even insight and research out there that suggests that they're expecting that they, consumers are, that they are expecting to tip even more than they had done before, which is just recognition for the particularly tough time had by the hospitality market and the desire for consumers to support and the desire for consumers to try and protect it as best they possibly can.
So, Peter, does technology play a role in any of this?
Absolutely. I think we've seen a trend towards people using tech more in their everyday lives, and I think that's one of the trends right across business we're going to see accelerated. People have been living in a digital world these last months. That's how they order, whether it's with all the shops closed, that's the only way they can get anything apart from food. And I think that's going to continue. And part of it is also part of the hygiene factor. People want to pay through contactless. They want to use Apple Pay. They're used to click and collect. I think this whole area is going to be really important. And that's why operators, whether it's chains or whether independents, are really going to have to embrace that even more. I think that's what people will expect. I mean, we can see it developing in all sorts of areas as well, particularly in the States. We're seeing it take into more extremes where drive-thrus are now using number plate recognition to know when a customer turns up, not just know when that customer is there to have their food delivered, but to understand who exactly they are. And if you've got a good customer records database, a lot of people are adding little extras for those consumers as well. So we are living in a virtual world. We're living in a tech world. We're also seeing consumers telling us that they've actually quite liked those Zoom calls with their friends and family. That they say a lot of that will continue. And so that's the sort of environment that the hospitality market is going to be competing in.
So Chris, if deals and promotions are stepping down the pecking order, how should operators be using technology to take advantage of this?
In my view, David, in a number of ways. Clearly, there are a series of different functional things, which will be how payment should be used, how ordering should be used, how delivery can be used better, and some of the great things that Peter brought to life there as well. If you're taking websites and social as an example, and this extends to app as well. Those are platforms where you can tell your consumers authentic stories which demonstrate your value. And yes, you might bring on some of that hierarchy of importance and really delivering some of the safety and hygiene factors that people are looking for, and you should be. But the other things that are of interest that demonstrate more about your brand are there and ready for you to be talking about and will create empathy amongst the consumer set and bring them back to you. So if we see that local and sourcing is of heightened interest and you've got good stories to tell, you've got to be shouting about them. If you are actively doing great stuff in your community or some charitable initiatives, make sure people know about them. If you've got, within lockdown, you've decided to tackle some of your waste or environmental stuff, super important to people, so get those messages out there. And equally, a really big part of what we're seeing as well is that people want to know how you're looking after your team. That's important. And, you know, Mr. Sunak stood up there on the 20th of March, or was in around the 20th of March, and said, this is the time where we'll be looked upon and how we treat others around us. Not the exact quote, but you get the idea. And that's important. So tell people those authentic stories across the various different digital media, as well as using it for the functional benefits that will offer your business. And you'll start to build out a really rich content plan that will resonate and cut through.
I'd like to answer, and Chris just said about teams, absolutely important. I mean, going back to work, that's the area that the government is focusing on and making sure your teams are safe, whether it's back of house, in the kitchen, or front of house. And I think there's a lot of people developing things like health checks, taking temperatures and whatever. And it's a matter of talking about that. We're used to scores on the doors in terms of hygiene ratings in the front of restaurants and cafes and pubs. I think what we're going to see, and will be a good thing, is to see the health ratings for your staff, to really reassure your customers that you're looking after them and are really on top of that area.
Before you go, Peter, what's on your mind for the future?
I think the key thing is keeping momentum up, because we know when people start coming back, we are not going to get back to anywhere near full capacity. So it's a lot of hard work to keep people coming back and using every element of a business, whether that's going into food kits, which are bigger chains are doing, whether it's takeaway and delivery, using your outdoor spaces. I know, you know, we've had a great May and we never know what the rest of the summer is going to be like, but actually using every bit of your business as much as you can. So you'll take your sweating assets as much as possible, because this is going to be a long haul.
That's great, Peter. Thank you very much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Welcome back to the Talking Food podcast. It's now David, Chris and I here. So to summarise things, guys, what are the key things that we talked about that operators should take forward?
If I was to summarise consumer confidence, Joe, it's not great, but importantly and hearteningly, people are desperately missing eating and drinking out of home. They just need and want to be reassured, particularly around safety, and also around the fact that the safety measures that you're putting in place won't overly hamper all that they love about eating and drinking out of home.
And I guess the hierarchy of importance piece just summarised really leads on from what Chris has said there, and that those hygiene factors and things that are going to make consumers feel safe and stable coming to your venues. One of the really things is around how you communicate them, how you talk about how you're moving your table seating further apart, how you're giving away free hand sanitizer, how you've increased cleaning protocols and freed hygiene procedures. All the different pieces are really, really key now, and consumers' hierarchy of importance has changed, but there's a real opportunity to take advantage of that and communicate out what you're doing for them.
And as part of that communication coming out, the role of deals and promotions has changed as well. It's not to say that they'll be completely unimportant, but we would advise that trading your margin in an attempt to bring customers back in is one strategy, but it is not the only strategy. We would first advise really understand what's important to your customers, empathise with their concerns, evidence the measures you've taken to keep them and your team safe, and just demonstrate what makes your business great. And if you can do all that and present your authentic value in a number of different ways, then you should be in a good place.
So David, what's to come next for the Rally Your Customers project?
Thanks, Joe. So that was topic one, consumer confidence, the role of trust and the new hierarchy of importance to consumers. Next up, we've got topic two launching, which is where and how consumers want to be reached and what messaging you need to target them with. Topic three then launches later, and that's the importance of localism in your community, including the sourcing of produce and interacting with your community. And lastly, we have topic four launching, and that is how the role of digital has changed forever and what operators must now embrace to thrive.
That's great. I'm looking forward to seeing them. Thank you, David, and thank you for being such a great co-host again.
No problem, Joe. Thanks for having me on again.
And Chris, you've been absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much.
Absolutely welcome. Really good to chat. Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more information on our Rally Your Customers campaign, you can find our free download at bidfood.co.uk/rallyyourcustomers. You can find the link to this in our episode bio. If, like many, you're looking for support with reopening your business, we have a wealth of information and insights on our website. You can also become a customer from here too. In the meantime, please subscribe, review and share our series on whatever platform you use to listen to these on. It'll mean more people can listen and learn about our take on the latest in food service. Until next time, stay safe and speak to you on the next episode.